What a treat it is to be with you this morning. For those who don't know me, I'm Luke Brazel. I am here with my wife Holly and two kids. I'm not allowed to name their names. They said they need their privacy. We're so glad to be here. It's like coming home for me. In 1993, I was 15 years old and an impressionable teenager, and we moved from Belgium to Talmadge, Ohio, and I got to experience what a youth group was like and what a church was like. And I had great experiences here. I learned a lot here. I was great watching Mike Hogan sing up here. I'm pretty sure I learned how to sing a bass line to a song from him. I learned how to fish from Doug Gates. I learned what a quintessential Sunday school teacher is in Judy Feldman. There are a lot of people who have shaped who I am. And that's because of this church, and I'm so thankful for that. And so I'm thankful for a chance to preach this morning, to share some thoughts. My family has been working with a church in Ghent, Belgium for the last 16 years, and so we are in the States this summer on our home assignment, where we travel around and say thank you to the many people who support us and to tell the story that God is writing in Belgium. Sharing with the churches and the families that support us what he's doing there and how he's using us and how he's using you, because you are the senders. You guys are the ones who are sending us. We get the fun part of getting to meet all the people. We're just thankful for you guys being willing to send. And so I want to talk a little bit this morning about the God who sends and how he treats us, how he takes care of us, and the message that we want to learn from him today, the message that we want to share with your church family in Ghent, Belgium. They met 6 hours ago. They are a part of your family. They celebrated the Lord's Supper together in another language, but with the same purpose, with the same God, with the same Savior that we can all be influenced by today, that our lives can be changed by today. Safety is important to us, right? We want to be safe. And that's what I want to talk about today, because our world has kind of seemed like an unsafe place recently. I want to ask for the first slide here, the red poster. Keep calm and carry on. Might be something that you've seen hung up in places. Maybe you have it, you've seen it in stores or in random places. This poster actually has been around for a while. It came about because of World War II. In the 1940s, the poster was brought out, actually in 1939, to encourage the British in preparation for World War II. The people were afraid. Germany had invaded, and there was a lot of uncertainty. There was a lot of unknowns. They had already experienced World War I, so they knew what war could mean. And there were a lot of people who were afraid, right? And so they brought these out, keep calm and carry on. And just last year, my son and I went to a war museum, and there was a Flemish version of one. There it said, Wees Kalm. And it was interesting to see they had put the names of the city officials at the bottom of the poster saying, we're not going anywhere. We're sticking it out. We're going to stay here with you. Please stay calm and carry on. Continue. And I don't think these posters are to say, just carry on blindly. But I think they are calling us to a kind of peace that may not seem very logical in our times today, that make us very afraid. But these motivational images can mean a lot to us. Can I have the next slide? Some other versions have been made. Keep calm and wash your hands. We didn't know we needed to know that until the pandemic. Now we know that we should wash our hands. Next slide. Keep calm and eat more popcorn. Some people become calm because of popcorn. The next slide. Keep calm, and everybody needs a nap sometime, right? It's a great way to keep calm. Next slide. Keep calm and play volleyball. My wife is a huge volleyball fan, so that's the best way to relax for some people. The next slide. Stay alive and avoid zombies. Also very, very important words of wisdom. How can you stay calm? What is the best way for you to stay calm? You can take that slide off. Don't want anybody to have nightmares. Why do these posters exist? You can find them all over the internet. You can find them anywhere. But clearly we're having a hard time staying calm. Are you able to stay calm in the current situation? We need some encouragement to put our concerns aside. I think we're all feeling a little bit uncomfortable these days. We survived 2020, right? Where we had to do many things differently and we experienced many new concerns that we never knew that we would have. Then we had 2021 and we thought, okay, well, we can put this behind us as we've had enough of this, and then it didn't stop. And we were longing for a new normal or things to go back to normal, the way we had remembered them. And then 2022 came and the new normal never came. We never went back to the way things were. And that is just unsettling, right? We just want to take a break from all of this. But it's not coming. What new worries did you discover in the last 2 years? I never knew that I would worry so much about door handles. Like, I never knew. I still do it. I walk up to a door handle, and I'm like, I don't know who has touched that thing. I never knew I would be so nervous around coughing people or sneezing people. They make me worried these days. We experience new concerns filling up an already worried world. In the country where we work, in Belgium, there's been a stress and an anxiety problem. They're calling it an epidemic. Belgium does not have a lot of statistics for during the pandemic yet, but in 2019, our newspaper said there has been talk of a burnout epidemic for years, but we have not been able to determine this for a long time in the figures. The percentage of employees with work stress remained fairly stable until now. Since 2013, we've seen a sharp increase by 7.5 percentage points. 36% of employees have psychological fatigue problems, and 14% are clearly in the risk zone for burnout. That includes 290,000 people who cannot take any more anxiety. Now, Belgium's not the same as the U.S., but I don't think these statistics are very far off. I don't think the numbers are looking as good when it comes to America, when it comes to stress. And we know the links between mental stress and physical ailments, right? We know that when we are worried about something, it's going to show up somewhere and bother us physically. And the leading stress, or the leading reasons for health complaints in women is stress. And in men, it's in second place after alcohol and drug use. Our stress and anxiety is a major influence on our well-being today. An interesting way to see that influence is through e-readers. I don't know how many of you guys read on tablets or on e-readers, but the companies who give us these e-readers, they track everything that we highlight. No worries, I don't know what you've been highlighting, but they do know. And what's interesting is the book that is most highlighted in the world is the Bible. And they're able to track what is the most highlighted scripture. And that scripture is Philippians 4, 6 through 7. So go ahead and grab your devices or your e-readers or your Bible and turn to Philippians 4, verse 6 through 7. Because I want us to park there a little bit today and see what Jesus, how Jesus can help us keep calm today. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Scripture's teaching us here that anxiety is actually a choice. It's not a result. Sometimes we experience a situation and we're like, ooh, I'm fearful. I have anxiety. It's hard for me to keep calm in response to that situation. But here, Scripture's calling us, or telling us, that we have a choice, that we can choose to rejoice in the Lord always. God's word says, don't worry. How can God say that? He knows what we're dealing with, right? How is that really fair for God to say, don't worry? How can he be serious to ask this, all of us? How can we interact with these words when anxiety is just a part of our daily life? Not only do we feel worried now, but now we feel guilty for being worried. What is your message here, God? What are we supposed to take away? So let's keep calm for a moment and do our best to understand what God's word is really telling us. The first thing that I think Scripture is telling us here is that worry is real. It's a real thing. We need to acknowledge that it's real and it's okay. It's a part of the way that we are made. When we see a kid playing in the street and we see a reckless driving barreling down the street, it's okay to be worried. It calls us into action. We're going to do something about it. Worrying is normal and it's real, and it needs to be recognized. We need to be concerned in certain situations, and it helps us to take the right course of action. At our house, we have a child who, when you ask him about his homework, he's like, oh, that's right, I need to do my homework. I need to make sure I get this done, and I think I have some homework to do after the weekend, so I need to make sure that's all taken care of, and he stresses out about it. But that way, I don't need to stress out about it because I know he's working on it. We have another child who I'll ask, so how's your homework coming? And he's like, what homework? Like, the one that's in your, like, you got from school? He's like, I don't think I got any. And then I have anxiety because he doesn't know what's going on. Our anxiety, our worries do have a purpose. And if you have pain in your body, if you feel something is wrong with you, then the concern will encourage you to go and see a doctor. And it could even save your life. And Jesus gives us a clear example of anxiety and stress before the night before he passes away, before he dies. Why is he stressing? Because he's human. This is a human trait. The world that we live in sometimes looks at Christians and says, these people are kidding themselves. The world does not need an example of a Christian with a fake faith. A Christian who pretends that he has no worries helps no one, right? So let's be real about concern. If we pretend or act that we don't care, that's not very helpful. Anxiety and stress can come from all different places in our lives. So I want to be very careful with my words today. Sometimes our concerns come from real problems with elusive solutions. Chronic situations or chemical imbalances need a professional doctor, and I want to make sure that we find those solutions. Concern can come from emotional trauma, which should be discussed with a qualified therapist. There are different causes for concern, so different approaches are needed, and I want to encourage you to find those solutions. You're not going to hear me say today that you need to put your worries away. We believe that doctors and therapists are a gift from God and that they should be used. And that means facing and talking about worries that keep us down. But today I want to talk about a different kind of stress. And that stress comes in the form of control. Do you have stress because you're not in control? I think a lot of our stress or our spiritual concerns grow out from the fact that we don't have everything. We aren't controlling everything in our lives. The kind of stress that Jesus was talking about when he said, why are you so worried? Are you worried about what you're going to eat, about what you're going to drink, about what clothes you're going to wear? Jesus was talking about the stress that comes because we have an urge to control. We can control our food most of the time. We can control our clothes most of the time. That's why maybe those things don't stress us out. There are things in our lives where we're like, ooh, I can't guide that. Or I'm in a situation where I am in way over my head and I can't control the situation. I think Jesus has something important to say to us in those moments where we want control. When Paul said, don't worry about anything, the word he uses here in Greek is a continuous verb. So he is actually saying, don't let your anxiety go on all the time. Paul doesn't say you should never worry. He says we shouldn't be constantly concerned because that's not feasible or healthy, right? We must remember that Paul is writing this from prison, a place where he might have some anxiety. He says concern is real, but it doesn't have to become our prison. As followers of Jesus, we have been given tools that can deliver us from incessant anxiety. So let's go back to that text in Philippians 4, starting in verse 4, and read through verse 8. And it's my hope that with these words we can work out a strategy to deal with the worries that we have. Starting in verse 4, of Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, what is admirable, if anything excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. In these words, Paul is giving us a strategy for how to deal with those moments when we're worrying, right? When we don't know what our next step should be, or we can't control the situation. And his words say clearly to us in the first sentence, let the Lord remain your joy. I say it again to you, always rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Here I read words that have a reassurance and a certainty that make it possible to leave the worries behind. When we're sure of ourselves, it's easier to leave those worries behind. The Lord is near. We can rest assured. He is our joy. Now, I don't know if you found joy in Jesus yet, but I hope you are searching for it and that you will find it, because he gives joy in places where we could never even know that they exist. God wants to be near to us. I loved it when my kids were younger and we would go swimming. And they weren't able to swim yet, and they knew the dangers of the water, so I would take them into the water and bounce them up and down. I didn't really have to work very hard at holding them, because they would have this headlock, or their arm would be around my head and they would not let go. And I would try and pull them away and kind of let them bounce up and down, but they didn't like that. They wanted to be as close to me as possible. They knew being closer to me was a place of safety. Their anxiety would disappear if they could be closer to me. And I think Jesus is trying to call us closer to him today. He knows that we're going to go out into our workplaces, into our neighborhoods, and we're going to try and control things, and we're going to draw away from him. And Jesus is saying, draw near to me, and you won't have to worry as much. You can keep calm a lot easier when you put a headlock on Jesus. He's wanting us to come near to him. Our Lord is near. He also takes us swimming in troubled waters sometimes. But sometimes we start to focus on the concerns of the water and the crowds and the insecurities because we forget how close God has come to us. And Jesus understands that. And he knows that we need to be reassured. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, we get these beautiful words from Jesus that remind us of the peace that he wants to bring. Jesus is putting up his keep calm poster in Matthew 11, verse 28 through 30. Here he says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus draws near. And he's asking us to draw near to him. So my challenge for you today is, how are you going to draw near? Do you want to find peace? Do you need to be with Jesus? Where did you go last year or the year before when you were tired and needed a rest and were cut off from society? When Corona or COVID changed your work and your security and you needed rest, what did you reach for? What calmed your pain? Was it alcohol? Did you go to websites where you shouldn't be? Did you turn to online shopping? Did you watch TV for hours to find peace? The pandemic has exposed our weaknesses, right? It's exposed where we run to when we're not drawing near to Jesus. The idols in our lives try and give us a sense of calm and control. But listen to what Jesus has to say. He says, come to me and you will truly find rest. Sometimes there's stories in Scripture that really annoy me, because I'm like, okay, where's the moral to the story? And I'll find the moral to the story, and Jesus will be pointing his finger at somebody, and that person is exactly like me. I'm like, this is the hero of the story, right? And Jesus is like, I'm sorry. One of those stories is in Luke chapter 10. We meet these two sisters. I'm going to read from Luke 10, verse 41 through 42. We read the story about Martha, who is so eager to organize a dinner party, right? She's invited Jesus over, and talk about stress, right? Jesus, the Savior of the world, is at your dinner table. She's trying to get all the food in the oven. The table still needs to be set. The wine still needs to be poured. The grape juice still needs to be poured, and not everything is ready. And so she's kind of getting annoyed by her sister, who's not doing anything. Everybody has that person in their life who just doesn't do anything. And they just sit there, and you're like, come on. Well, Jesus is here, and he can set things straight, right? So Martha goes, she's had enough, and so she goes to Jesus to complain that Mary's not doing enough. And then listen to Jesus' response here in Luke chapter 10, verses 41 and 42. Jesus says, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, what had Mary chosen? She had drawn near to Jesus. She was sitting at Jesus' feet, spending time with him, listening to him, talking to him. I feel so bad for Martha, man. She's working so hard. I could see her in the kitchen there with her being like, can you believe Mary? Not doing anything again. But Jesus says, draw near to me. How many of us can put our names in that phrase? Luke, Luke, you're so worried and upset about so many things. Is this your verse today? Is Jesus saying to you, put your worries aside, those things can wait, but draw near to me today? We live in a world that is going at a very fast pace, and Jesus is saying, take time with me. Jesus says, there's something else that is necessary. And that one thing in particular that Mary has chosen in this situation cannot be taken away from her. Sometimes we think, just spending some time saying a prayer, reading in scripture, we're like, is that really that important? And Jesus is saying, yes, this is where I can be found. We are all going to lose the battle with stress if we don't hold on to what can never be taken away from us. And that is going to Jesus and sitting with him and spending time with him. And that can be in all different ways. It was great hearing John talk about being on the hike and just being overwhelmed with emotion. When we see what God has done for us, the beauty that he has spread out before us, we're drawing near to him. Whether you're talking to somebody and encouraging them and giving them the value that they are that God has given them, we are drawing near to him. How do we do that? How can we sit still and rest when there's so much turmoil that dominates our world? One thing that we are definitely going to have to do is to be aware of when our minds start getting in the way of us through this question. The question is, what if? I want you to hear this question because we use it all the time and it's very dangerous. What if? We look forward and we say, well, what if something bad's going to happen? Or we look back and we say, what if I had done things differently? And that question poisons our life. Jesus says, draw near to me, and don't ask the question, what if? But he says, we should be asking the question, what is? What is here today? How can we answer that today? Jesus says, this is what is. Rejoice in me. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. During the pandemic, or now that the pandemic is subsiding somewhat, quite often we're asking ourselves as a church, we're like, well, what if we had done that? Or what if we had done that? Or what if we do this in the future? And we forget about what is right now. This is family. This is where we can lean on each other and feed each other and encourage one another. What is? The Lord is near. The Lord is here today. And Jesus does not promise a life without stress, but he does promise peace on the inside, that he will be with us through those times of trouble. When we realize that the Lord is near, it brings a new perspective. And that's something we're trying to do in Belgium. A lot of people are stressed out there. A lot of people are having trouble keeping calm, and we are able to share the message of Christ with them. And that's the things that we are trying to share. The one who made food will provide it. The one who designed clothes in the garden for Adam and Eve will provide that as well. The one who provided healing to the sick and to the lame is able to do so much more than we ask or imagine, right? He is going to provide peace. So I want to challenge you this week to contrast the question, what is, to contrast the question, what is, to the question, what was. Because a lot of us are still holding on to what was in the past. We are trying to go back to that normal that was back there. And I'm afraid it's not going to come. So let's focus on what is. This past week, we had a family reunion in North Carolina with 25 Brazzles. That's a lot of Brazzles. And they send their greetings. We heard a lot of stories that started off with the words, well, before the pandemic. And we're still holding on to that, right? A lot of us are saying, well, before the pandemic, that was normal. And now, well, it's just different. It's true. It is different. But Jesus didn't leave us behind when the pandemic started. He is here with us today. So let's ask the question, what is he doing? Who am I today because of him? Let's stop asking the question, what was, and see what is. You see the people in your life today that are still with you? Thank God for that. Thank God for a chance to rejoice because you have grown over the past year. Let's focus on the growth that we've had. Let's thank God for that. Rejoice because you see people at church today who you can lean on that are faithful. Those who serve behind the scenes in your life. Thank God for that. Rejoice, keep calm, and go to Jesus. The pandemic was hard on the mission field too. We experienced a lot of the same things you experienced here. We had to be locked up in our homes. We had to have fellowship through a computer screen. It's so difficult to do sometimes. And we got down on ourselves. We were sad. But God has brought us to a place today where we can say, you know what? All those people, they came with me. They were there to encourage me when I needed it. God was drawing near to us in all those times. I want to pray for you as a church that God can give his peace to us today. So let's take a few moments to pray. Dear Lord and Father, we thank you for who you are, that you draw near to us. Lord, we admit that we are busy and worried, that it's hard to stay calm. But Lord, you are here with us to provide us perspective. Help us to see what is, that you are here, that we are surrounded by your family, that we are healthy, and that we are able to take one more step this week in your direction. We thank you for that opportunity, for that chance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you this week as you walk with him, as you take another step with him. I want to ask you to keep calm and carry on. And maybe it's possible that you haven't found the peace that Christ gives. And I want to give you the opportunity to pray with people here. I'm sure there will be people here to pray with you. If you haven't experienced his peace yet, if you haven't experienced baptism, if you haven't given your life to him yet, I want to invite you to talk to somebody about that and to share your thoughts on that. Keep calm. Keep calm. Carry on. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. Amen.
Don't mind that fumbling guy on the stage here.